You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Nancy Fitzgerald of AnchorsAway.org Worldview Ministries to tackle a question that I think many, many people sometimes ask, especially early Christians in their walk. Can I believe and not be saved is the big question. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Well, good morning, Kelly and Steve.
Hi.
Good to be with you this morning.
This is an incredible question. When I saw this come in yesterday, I'm like, oh man, this is really thought-provoking. And I know that, there are people that have got to be asking this morning, because no matter how long you've been a Christian, as you start to get into your walk, and it's not been that long ago, I talked to a Christian. She's been walking with the Lord for years and told me, she said, I don't think I was, you know, honestly, I don't remember how many decades she said she had been saved, but she said, I don't think until just recently, truly, that I was saved based on the way I was living and what I perceived a Christian to be. So can we believe and not be saved?
Well, yes. And that's, this is, I appreciate this question, and it's a great one. I was teaching a group of teens from a very solid Christian church, and there are like 20 of them, a few months ago, sitting in a room, and I said, how many of you identify as Christians? All of them raised their hand. Could somebody tell me why you identify as a Christian? When did you become a Christian? When did you truly, truly, truly give your life and walk with Jesus? And you know what they all said, all of them, I grew up in a Christian home. That was their testimony. None of them mentioned the name of Jesus. I believe, I struggle with this. No, I just grew up in a Christian home. And, you know, that is just not a testimony. And these kids, actually, I'm teaching at 8 o'clock in a school, Central Christian Academy, on the south side of Indianapolis this morning. And these kids are asking these questions. Why do I not feel that I'm going to heaven when I die? And all of this, because it's just not anchored in them. And you're right. You know, the majority, we should be concerned, the majority of self-identified Christians do not have a solid walk. They don't know, or I just have that thing about a mental ascent. You know, I believe that Jesus lived, but it doesn't really affect my life. And for the majority of us, if we look at the statistics that you were referring to earlier, people are just, they are not living their lives out with Christ. You know, 9% of born-again teens don't believe in moral absolutes. How's that? And how does that work with Christ? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these kids are not in their scriptures, and they're not doing it. But the whole point is that unless we intercede here, and that's what we do with Anchor's Way material, these kids are going to be parents someday and continue the cycle of people that are identifying as Christians and are not. And it is truly frightening how many Christian parents from good churches are very lukewarm as far as, what do I believe? Am I really going to heaven? Do I have that security? And I'm telling you, the vast majority do not have security of when they die that they're going to heaven.
Well, let me ask this. There's got to be some statistics around this. I know that you don't just pull these questions out of thin air. No, this is validated information, quantifiable data. So what are some of those statistics that we're looking at that really get this message home?
Yeah, well, 2 to 6% of Christian teens are living out their faith. There you go, right there. So, you know, we look at 98% of Christians are not living out their faith. They don't pray during the day. They don't know what the gospel is. They can't share it if they knew it. And here's the thing that I think motivates me more than anything from statistical perspective. The 80 to 90% of Christians lose their faith in God by the time they graduate from college or go into the workplace. There you go. So somewhere along the line, they've failed. 88% of students from Christian homes deny their faith before they graduate. So no matter what, if they're in Christian schools or Christian high schools or whatever, these kids are equally ill-equipped. And that's the problem. They are not equipped, and the parents aren't equipped. And, you know, Kelly, I heard you say earlier, you know, the parents really need to step it up. Yes, they do. Absolutely. But let me say a little PS on this. So do the churches. So do the churches. And I'm telling you, I've been to talk all around our area to youth pastors, giving them books, giving them material, and they're not using it because they themselves have not been trained. And that's pretty tragic. And this is why it's tragic, because there are different depths of belief and different understandings as to what Christ expects of those who claim to be his followers, you know. And if a Christian claims to be a person claims to be a Christian because he or she prayed a prayer that somebody told him to pray, that does not make that person a follower of Jesus. It just doesn't. According to the scriptures, praying a prayer is maybe step one if you really understood what you were praying. But if somebody merely believes that there's a God and not a savior, then that person has the same faith as the demons of hell. I'm telling you, it is serious. Even those believe, you know, even the demons believe that there's a God. And we see this in all through the scriptures. You know, if we deny that Jesus is the savior, if we do not have a saving faith through Christ, then essentially a person can believe in some sense. They can believe Jesus is a representative of God even, and not be saved. It's the same thing. I can believe in George Washington. It means nothing that he was the president. And this, I think, is what's happened. They have a sense of Jesus, a sense, but no clue who he is and no clue how to have a relationship with him. And the reason why I think this is so serious, 1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide. There's that word, abide, live in. Live, so we're living with God, we're walking with him, abiding with him. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. It's eternal life. So those that have eternal life, if you're wondering, am I going to heaven? If you are walking with Christ, you believe he is your savior, you're getting your information and the moral value system is being built through the scriptures. Yes. According to scriptures. Yes. If your life reflects it. And Jesus also said in John 8, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples. So there it is. It's yes, we believe that Jesus is the savior, mm-hmm. but from Christ's perspective, it isn't going anywhere because belief is step one of this process. If it's not grounded and rooted in you, so your life just reflects it, mm-hmm. then I too would be worried, you know, yeah. if I were you.
Well, what about if we have a really strong emotional response to hearing about Jesus, Nancy? You know, for instance, I remember way back, if you remember the old, I think it was a three-part series, and it aired over Easter back in the 70s, of all things, Jesus of Nazareth. And I remember having such a strong emotional response to watching that. What about when we have strong emotional responses? Does that count for anything?
You know, I think this is so true, Kelly. That's a great idea there. And the thing is, I remember watching Billy Graham Crusades and all these people there and thousands coming to Christ. But the difference of Billy Graham Crusades, by the way, is that he went months before his team and built up around the cities people that were going to lead follow-up Bible studies, see? So I mean, the Billy Graham Crusade was very much aware of all of this. But again, some people have an initial, like you did, positive emotional response when they're hearing about Jesus and how he hung on the cross and died to forgive us of our sins. And they might love hearing stories about Jesus. This is like our kids and his disciples through the scriptures. But that, seriously, we've got to be honest about it. And I'm not being judgmental today. I am simply screaming that a casual relationship with Jesus does not work, you know. And we see people getting baptized and joining the church and singing in the choir. And those things, although they're not evil in any sense, they're inspiring. But again, being in a choir does not make you a Christian. And Steve, you and I are talking about Matthew 7. It's just one of the scariest scriptures in the New Testament, and because it is a somber reminder that unless our lives reflect the truth in the light of our Savior, we simply are not one of His. And so Matthew 7, 21 through 23, listen to this. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, this is Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And Jesus was speaking with people who were deeply involved in ministry. This is the terrifying part of this. But they were not genuine believers. They acknowledged the words of who Jesus is, but they had no personal relationship, that moment by moment relationship that God is calling us to. And as a result, Jesus says, I never knew you. Meaning that these people were never followers of Jesus in the first place. And they clearly have no future for heaven. And this is, we just have to wake up. And parents, we have to realize that kids growing up in a Christian home, they don't get it. Yeah. Obviously, by the stats, they don't get it. And their future is as grim as their parents. We have to step in and have a deeper, richer environment that these kids are growing up in so they can see, you know what? I can claim, I can identify as being a Christian, but am I really? Am I really?
This is terrifying. So disconcerting. Yeah, it's terrifying. You know, it's disconcerting to think about that, because we have to respond then to a free gift of salvation in order to be assured that we have accepted this. We know now what not, you know, results of being saved, but what do we need to do to be sure we've responded correctly? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, we're saved from our sins by believing in our heart that we are sinners and that Jesus died personally for our individual sins, past, present, and future, right? And our life will reflect the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus gives to all who truly believe in Him and walk with Him in everyday life. Now, let me just inject here. We all sin. We all have days where we're cranky and we just do our own thing and make a mess of it. I get it. But if our heart beats for Christ, if our overall, the way we live, the rhythm of our lives is in tune with Jesus, that is what Jesus is looking for. Yes, he died for our sins, but he died for our sins so he could have an eternal relationship with us. There's that little PS to it. In the gospel, yes, Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. So that we could walk with him, so that we could have a relationship with him. And this is really true. And people will say, well, that's the gospel of works. No, it's not. By faith, we are saved. But it's how we live. And James 2 is so good about this. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? And the thing is, the heart of it, Steve, is that God knows our hearts. We can't fool him. You know, and we, however, cannot see the hearts of other people and can often be deceived about our own hearts as well, you know. And that's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And if we want work in our confidence in this in our understanding before God, we need to see if there is evidence of God's work in our lives today, like moment by moment. And I think we ask ourselves, you know, how do we measure that? Well, are we reading the scriptures? Are we praying? Are we choosing to love others unconditionally and to serve them and to help them and to encourage? If you're not known as an encourager, you might want to reconsider how you're living your life. Eric Metaxas, I read his book last week, and he writes in the book, is called The Letter to the American Church. And yeah, he absolutely gets to this very piece of the issue. He says this in his book, isn't that precisely the issue with what we believe? We say we believe that Jesus has defeated death on the cross. Many of us affirm it when we recite the Nicene Creed, but God knows what we actually believe or are just claiming to. He sees it by our actions. God asks us, will you trust me with your income? Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me with your spouse's life or your child's life? Do you say, or what do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? God is not satisfied or fooled by what we say or what we say we believe, any more than the devil is fooled himself, and this is serious stuff, by what we believe. Or any more than our neighbors are fooled, or our friends or our enemies are fooled. People see precisely what we believe by how we behave. Can there be any doubt? You know, and this is so good. We don't believe much of what we claim to believe. What will it take for us to genuinely believe what God says? And what will it take for us to understand that God is not fooled by what we claim to believe? And this is the heart of the issue. God, all-knowing, all-sovereign, died for us, is calling us for to come to him and live out our faith in a very authentic way. And I think we need to maybe ponder this and ask ourselves. Jesus asked Peter the question 3 times. And I think I'm closing with this. It's, do you love me? It's what he said to Peter 3 times. Do you love me? Do you actually love me? And I think if we die today and we meet Jesus, I think that is going to be the question. How did you love me? Tell me how you love me. Regardless how you identify, how did you love me?
Well, I always say the most terrifying words in the English language are, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. You know, that is ultimately probably the scariest thing. And it all has to do with the heart. It is all about the heart condition. Do we genuinely believe that Christ died for our sins, was rose again, and is going to return? And that is ultimately the only way we can answer that question that we are posing here today. So vitally important, Nancy. Can I believe and not be saved? Thank you very much for this installation of the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of anchorsaway.org.
This really has been good.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I just want to encourage people, based on the information that we shared about that Barna study, go to anchorsaway.org and study up. Get involved. You have to learn it yourself. It's not that somebody's going to just enter into your world and, you know, walk up to you and say, drop your net, follow me, and I'm going to show you the way. I mean, we just, our world is a little bit different. We wish it were that easy, but we are responsible for knowing Christ. And so, yes, get into that relationship. If you're not being discipled, begin asking those questions yourself. Form your worldview. Share that with your family. Lead your family in that way.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's just doing.
Yeah.
It's just doing.
Anchorsaway.org.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.